You're listening to episode number 298 of the She's Building Her Empire podcast. Are you looking to blaze the trail and build or expand your business empire? Welcome to She's Building Her Empire, a place of motivation, inspiration, and innovative business strategies to help increase your income and, more importantly, your impact. Follow your purpose while building your empire with your host and business coach, Stacey Tuschel. Hey there, welcome to a special episode today. So I recently did a Facebook Live on my fan page at Stacey Tuschel, if you're not following me on Facebook. And I just did this thing where people could ask me questions ahead of time. They could jump on and ask me questions live. So we're going to get into some personal stuff today, and we're going to get into some business stuff, and we'll just see where it takes us. So let's begin. I'm super excited because today we're doing just a little bonus Q&A. So I haven't done one of these in a while, and I know that I'm always getting questions in the Facebook group, lots of things just coming my way, sometimes in my DMs. And I want to make sure that once in a while, you guys have access to ask me anything you want so that I can just help you in any way possible. I know a lot of you want to know more personal stuff. So if there is something personal what you want to ask me, please feel free to ask anything you'd like today. I'm excited to dive in. We had a few people post in the Facebook group a bunch of questions under the, when we posted about this Q&A, we had people post underneath. So I've got some questions to kind of just jump right in. But if you're here watching live, I would love for you to ask questions live. If you're listening to the podcast, make sure to get in our Facebook group next time so you don't miss out. It's just She's Building Her Empire. Okay. And do not let me forget, we are announcing the winners. You know what? I probably should just do it now so I don't forget. We are announcing the winners from our challenge. And from our, we have one Facebook group winner, and then we have four people from our Instagram challenge as well. We are giving away some really cool prizes. I'm just going to say their names, and then I'm going to tag all of them on Instagram, and I will show you guys what you guys are winning. But somebody has won our Launched in 90 program, which is $1,000. Somebody has won Your Perfect Product, which is $500, and some other cool giveaways. So make sure to check out our Instagram stories today to see who, to see what they all won. But our Facebook winner is Carrie Nelson, okay? Our Instagram winners, Mary Madison, Anna Hesselbarth, Carrie Head, and Heather Sontag. I'm going to tag them on Instagram. You can see they're real people. I will message you guys with what you've won. You'll see, actually, we'll publicly post what they each won, but that'll be coming your way today. Make sure to check out my Instagram stories. Okay, let's dive in, you guys, okay? So if you have any questions, please feel free to post below. But I'm going to just jump right in, okay? So this question came from Samantha. She said, what do you say to somebody who doesn't know many people and is trying to grow their legacy? Okay, so I would say to her, if you don't know many people, it is your number one priority to start networking and getting out there, okay? So Samantha, if you feel like, how do I do this? Where do I go? Whether you need to find people locally, or maybe you need to start going to some events, being a part of other groups or masterminds. Maybe you're like, I can't afford that, because I know that's another, you know, big objection that people will say. If you can't afford it, then maybe you need to lead it. Maybe you need to start a peer-led group, right? So there are many, many ways to go about this. And you've got to be really careful that you're not always going, yeah, but I don't have the money. Yeah, but I don't have the time. Yeah, but I don't know anybody, right? A lot of times we just start making all these excuses up. And I will tell you that in order to achieve the end result you're looking for, you need to make sure that you are just blowing past those yeah buts and doing whatever it is you need to do. So I feel like the answer is go meet people, right? And you're probably thinking that sounds a lot harder than it is, but we do it every day. I mean, I just jumped on the phone an hour ago with somebody that I met through Instagram. So there's people out there, right? And there we don't live in the same area. She's from Nashville. I'm in Milwaukee. And we met on Instagram and we were chatting on the phone just a minute ago. You can find people to do that with too, okay? So I really, really want to make sure that you don't let those yeah buts get in the way, okay? All right. Ooh, Kylie, great question. I will definitely get to that. So next I want to answer. Okay, so Luan says, if someone messages you and says, hi, how much do you charge for X? What's the best response? Okay, so first of all, I'm assuming you don't want them to know the price. I'm thinking that's why you're asking that, because if you didn't care, you would just answer, right? So there are some programs that we don't just tell you the price, right? And why do we do that? Well, for instance, I will tell you that sometimes people come to us and they just want market research. They're actually not even interested in my products or programs or services. They're like trying to figure out what do you get, what's included, and then they're going to go copy and do the same thing, right? So we purposely do not share our pricing or structure of certain programs with the public for that reason. So Luan, if you're in the same boat as me and you're thinking, I don't want to just give this all out and let everybody see it, what we typically say is first, we don't give that information out unless we know you're qualified for the program. Okay, that's a really good way to say it, because I don't just give it out to anybody. I have to make sure you're a good fit before I decide if you've qualified to even be given that information. So that's kind of what I would say if you're in the same similar situation as me. And it kind of sounds like maybe you are, because you don't want to share that price point. Okay, I also think that when you just give a price to somebody and they have no idea what the promise is of this program or what's included and what they're going to get out of it, if you just are like, oh, it's this much money, but you give them nothing else, it's really hard to put a value on that when it's just a quick answer, okay? So I would just say, if that's your reasoning, come up with something where your team and you know what you're going to say so you're not put on the spot or caught off guard when somebody asks you. Okay, so that's a great question. So I'm sure people get that a lot. Okay, now next one is, how do you, this is from Jen. Some people didn't leave their name, or I don't have their name. It's just like posts that came from my team, like kind of gathered these up. So this one's from Jen. How do you zero in on your target market and ideal client avatar for a service-based business? I struggle with being drawn in too many different client niches and end up trying to talk to and help everyone. Thanks so much. Okay, so Jen, I would say you either need to figure out, like you can niche in two ways, I tell people. You can niche your person or you can niche your topic, okay? So if let me use Rachel as an example, because I just had a call with Rachel this morning. She's one of my private coaching clients, or in Powerhouse actually. And Rachel basically is this Pinterest expert. She doesn't have to be for one niche, because if you're a Pinterest expert or you have a specific topic that you're really focused on, that already is niched down enough, okay? So you can have a super niche by going both ways, but you don't necessarily need to niche down and just, like, people always want me to go to Just Dance Studios. And I'm like, listen, as long as I can get the topic niched enough, I don't need to go to Just Dance Studios, right? But if my topic was broad and my niche was broad, then yes, I'm in a, what we call a red ocean, which is very, very saturated, and we need to separate ourselves right away, okay? So hopefully that helps, but you've got to figure out, am I going to niche the person or am I going to niche the topic? And if you can niche both, even better, okay? Emily asked, how do you figure out how much you can take on and actually get done in one day? Realistic to-do lists. Okay. So it's really hard. We're just guessing. Every time we set a goal, every time we say what we're going to do today or how long something's going to take us, we're guessing, right? We're making an educated guess. And that's totally okay. But what I do is I look at my three big things that have to happen today, and I work through the most important. So I don't work on getting done the little stuff that I can just cruise through. I work on what has to happen today. What is the most specific thing or the biggest priority? And I go in that order. So when I work on number one, if it takes me all day and I don't get to number two or three, that's fine, because at least the number one priority has been completed. And then I'll just roll those over until tomorrow. Okay. So for me, it's not about like only having a couple things to do. It's just priority. What is your top priority? Are you focused on your main thing? Now, if you have too many things that are your main things, you need to outsource. You need to hire more people to help you. Sometimes I see that people just have too much on their plate and they're like, well, I have to serve the clients and I have to create this for the clients and I have to do this and I'm the editor and it's all of a sudden like, well, you got to get somebody else on your plate, right? Or somebody else to help take things off of your plate, okay? All right. How do you balance work and life? So for me, I feel like I kind of just go all in on whatever it is I'm doing, or I'm present in what I'm doing. So if I am at a business conference and I'm out of town for the week, I am like all in. I am here. I am like ready to learn, ready to do everything. I am super focused on that. And then when I'm home and I come home right from that trip, I am with the kids. My girls and I have we call it a date night every week where we go do something. So like to give you an example, I'll pick them up from school on Friday. Let's say my husband's working. We will go to the library. We have a really cool library in our hometown and they love it. So we'll go to the library. They'll play, they'll read books. Then we go to maybe like a place for dinner real quick. Not like a sit down if it's just the three of us, but like just a place where we can kind of fast food-ish. We don't go to fast food, but like, you know what I'm talking about? Places where a little bit like more like a Panera, right? So we'll go someplace like that. We'll go get a cupcake. We'll come home, watch a movie. And we have these date nights and I'm all in. I'm not on my phone. I'm not taking calls. I'm not doing those types of things. Okay. So I think it's just being really intentional with what is this time? What am I allocating this time for specifically? So I can travel a ton and work a ton, but I can still be a really good mom when I'm doing that. So I think that's how I balance it. And even yesterday, Tegan had a preschool field trip at a nursing home. I didn't have to be one of the moms that went, but for me, it was like, no, this will be something fun we can do together. It's just the two of us. I know my child is very shy and that can be very intimidating. They have to sing and go up in front of people. And I know she's going to be nervous. And I just made sure like that was a morning, like it was the whole morning. That was like me being a mom, right? So just be present, be focused. But then as soon as I was done, I dropped her off at my mom's and I worked the rest of the day, right? So it's just me going, do I feel good about both areas of my life, right? It's not like it's going to be balanced perfectly, but how do I feel about both areas? Do I feel good about my work today? And do I feel good about being a mom and a wife, right? Like that's what I'm asking myself. And I'm pretty good at not letting people's judgments affect me. Like if you told me you thought I was a bad mom because I travel too much, I know that I'm not. So it just kind of like rolls right off my back. It really doesn't bother me. And I've learned if it does bother me, it's probably because some part of me and maybe is questioning it or I'm second guessing myself. So when you feel really confident about that balance, for me, it feels good, right? So that's what I would say about that. I could talk a ton more about that, but I think that's good enough to kind of get you started. Okay, Jane. Need assistance to decide which platform to use for my webpage for my business, Wix, WordPress, so many choices. Okay. So I have for the most part had WordPress and then I switched over to Squarespace because I was given some poor information and I'm going back to WordPress right now. It's in the works of being built. Honestly, WordPress is just where it's at for SEO. And for me, it works because I have somebody that can help me with the tech side of it. If you're like, but I have to do it and it's going to be really hard, you might not be at a stage where SEO even matters to you. And you may want to look at Wix or Squarespace because it's easier. You can do it yourself and it'll be super like user friendly. But I don't typically work in my website. I could if I needed to go into my WordPress and change something, but it's rare that I would make a change because I outsource that. Okay. That's where that work-life balance comes in. I'm very good at delegating, building a team, outsourcing. So there's not a million things to do. I mean, there's always a million things to do, but there's not a million things to do that I shouldn't be doing on my plate specifically. Does that make sense, you guys? Okay. anybody that is here live, do you have questions? I'm going to answer Kylie's now that I see that she asked. She said, I'm going to be on a podcast today. Any last minute tips? Okay. Great question, Kylie. Thank you for asking. So one thing I'm going to say to everybody, if you're going on a podcast and you have a podcast, make sure you mention your podcast, okay? Because why? So what I want to talk about, I'm going to answer your question, but I'm going to answer this in a broader sense because I get this question a lot. Where do I grow my platform? Do I start a podcast? Do I jump on Facebook Live? Do I start on Instagram? Where do I go? You can grow on all of them, right? Every one of them will help you, okay? But when you're investing in that platform, you go all in. So when you're investing in a podcast interview, the number one way for them to convert to your people, to be your person, is by shouting out your own podcast. So when people say like, Kylie, where is the best place for us to find you, right? Most people will say that at the end of a podcast when they interview you. You will want to say, well, I love my podcast. I've got this one over here. It's called this. Otherwise, my other favorite places are over here, okay? So keeping them in the same platform is the best way to go. When you're talking about your Instagram on your podcast, not all podcast listeners are your Instagram audience or will be on Instagram and vice versa. So try to stay within the platform versus like making them jump around, okay? My next thing that I would tell you, Kylie, is I would say to, if you have some sort of freebie or something, to get them from being just a listener to somebody who's actually jumping on your email list. So if you can give something really good away, great. And that's another thing too, is you want to make sure your website is doing its job by getting them on the website and then getting them to opt in to something. That is the number one job of my website, is to get them into my email, onto my email list, and then into some sort of a funnel. Okay. So hopefully that helps, Kylie. I would just say, make sure you tell them where to go. If you're trying to fill your Facebook group or trying to, you know, get your Instagram following up, wherever you're trying to show them, make sure they know it's the, like, your most favorite place to be. And that's where they should go. If you have something to give to them, definitely do a giveaway of some sort, whether that's a freebie, whether that's like the first 10 people that message us is going to get a free call, like whatever that looks like. Try to see if you can do something like that as well. Okay. Also, make sure when you're giving away content on a podcast or in somebody's blog or whatever that looks like, that the content makes sense for your audience too and what your products are. So if you're constantly trying to accommodate somebody else's audience, but then there's like nothing that it leads to in your like structure, your product model, you've got a broken model, right? So you want to make sure that when I hear Kylie talk about this, whatever it is, I'm going to go to her website and I'm going to look for more of that. But if Kylie talks about Pinterest on her podcast and then I go to her website and she's like an Instagram girl, she's lost me, okay? All right, so next question. I've got a few more that I'll take live as well as here. Oh, okay, cool. So Allison says, I find when I talk to people about my business idea in person, they all love it and they are on board. But when I try to put it on paper and write it down, even in business groups, I get almost no response. How do I make my in-person passion translate to paper and marketing means? Okay, so first of all, a couple things. When you are talking to somebody, it's going to be hard for them to not be like, that's amazing, right? So tough love here. Are they saying it's amazing? But then if it's on paper, you're trying to get their credit card, they're like, not happening. That's possible, right? So I don't want to like hurt anybody's feelings, but I want to be super real because that could be happening. Another thing that could be happening is it could be great when you talk about it because you're excited and you're passionate and you have this energy. And then you write it on paper and it's like, you know, that could be, which might just mean you need to outsource it to a copywriter to like make it sound magical. I'm not a great writer. When I give my stuff to my copywriter and she comes back, I should say I'm not a good copywriter. I can write, I'm not great at selling something on paper, okay? And when I give it to my copywriter and she sends it back to me, I'll be reading it and I'm thinking, it almost gives me anxiety, like I better step up this program because she made it sound so phenomenal. I gotta make it be as good as she's saying it is, right? So you may just need to outsource to a copywriter, or you may want to evaluate, is this as good as people are saying? Are they just being nice, et cetera, okay? All right, some more questions. Why don't you do your Facebook Lives as a podcast anymore? Okay, so funny enough, today I am, but I rarely do. So I started doing my podcasts probably a year ago. I started to do Facebook Lives and always record them for my podcast. And honestly, if I'm going to be totally transparent here, it was because I was super burnt out with my podcast. My podcast has been around for 3 years. It is not like a Facebook Live where people are like giving you a thumbs up and likes and they're talking to you and they're like, oh, I love this. This is amazing. A podcast, it's like you're talking to a mic and you sometimes don't hear anything, right? And it can get really hard to stay motivated when you're like, does anybody even care? Is anybody even listening? Like, hello, right? So I got a little burnt out. And about a year ago, my podcast, kind of out of like nowhere, it felt like, started to really pick up numbers. And for some reason, that was like this really great thing that got me motivated again. And it almost put a little bit more pressure and responsibility of, wow, this is growing. I better step it up, right? It's kind of like when somebody buys something, you're like, whoa, this better, I better deliver here. That's kind of how I felt a year ago. And seeing those numbers was really validating for me. And now I make it a habit that every single Monday, I look at my podcast numbers. And when I see these numbers, I picture real people, and that helps me. So the reason I don't combine them anymore typically is because I feel like every platform is very different, and it's better to be able to engage with your Facebook Live audience. And sometimes your podcast listeners don't want to hear you engaging with other people, right? Today's a special day where I'm like, I don't really do a lot of these personal business type questions. And in case somebody wanted to hear it on my podcast, I wanted to give them an opportunity. So that's why I did it today, but I haven't done this in a very, very long time. So that's basically why. I would not suggest doing both. I would try to have them separate if you can, because it's just a different experience for your user. Okay. I would love to know things about your investment properties. Do you have a different LLC for each property? This is from Sabrina. Sabrina, yes, I do. Do you have different checking accounts for each? Yes, I do. What are things that people don't realize when having them? I'm just new at getting them. Okay, so that's usually one thing is people don't understand that a rental property is a separate business. So it's a separate LLC. It's I file separate taxes. I have a separate bank account. I have a separate credit card. It is a business, right? And so when people say to me like, oh, you have two businesses, I actually have, I don't even know how many I have. I have to manually account right now because every rental property I have has its own business, its own bank account. When I go into my bank, they think I'm crazy. I mean, they've got to think I'm nuts. So I go into my bank account and they'll like pull up my account and then I'll have to specifically explain which account I'm talking about, how to find it. And they probably think, why do you have like 12 accounts, right? It's like every single business is separated because you want it nice and neat and organized for tax purposes. So please make sure you are finding a great CPA, somebody to help you do this, especially if you're new to it, because you can have something really hurt you on the back end tax-wise if you don't know what you're doing. My biggest mistake was, and you need to go back and listen to the podcast. I can't remember what the podcast when it was. It was this summer, I think, and it was about talking about when I got arrested. That's a whole other podcast. You have to go listen to it. And I talk about in there this like horrible situation that happened when I sold the property and had to reinvest. So it's like, if you don't know a lot of this, start involving yourself with people who are doing this, who have been there, because it's like, you don't know until you actually do it. Okay. Okay. With taxes, how do you categorize things that are for your office when you have multiple businesses? So if you buy printer paper, how do you know which business to put that under? Okay. Great question. Okay. So a couple things, you could do it a couple ways. I'm going to do a little disclaimer. I am not a tax professional and you should be consulting your tax professional, but I will tell you what I do. Remember, every state is different. Every country is different. So if you're not from here, know that you want to talk to somebody. So a couple things you can do. If you feel like you're buying a pack of paper and it's really 50% for this business and 50% for that business, you can actually separate that and allocate it to say 50% here and 50% there. So in one of my businesses, I have two locations, my studios. You know, paper does come in, office supplies do come in. And some of our things we were allocating, we're saying, you know, 70% is going to location number one, 30% goes to location number two because location number two is smaller because it's younger. But what's funny is it used to be like 90-10 and then it was 30-70. And I think this year went to 60-40 and pretty soon they're going to be pretty even unless one takes off bigger than the other. And then we'll keep allocating that. So let's just say I buy paper for my studio and it's sitting here and I need to print something for my other business. I might use the paper and it's fine. I am an S corp. Okay. And because I'm an S corp, everything kind of flows together. So it's not like I'm going to get audited from the IRS. Like you use this paper for your consult. It wouldn't matter because it's an S corp. So again, you're like, what is she talking about? Talk to your CPA. I am not a professional tax advisor. Okay. I should probably not even be talking to you about that, but I just want to share with you what I do. It is just so, so important to find somebody really great that you can go to ask questions like this that are certified, like in your state, like know what you're doing and understand your business. Okay. Great questions. Okay. On a personal note, do you donate money or time and to what? I'd love to know what places you support when it comes to donating. Okay. Good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that before. Yes. So a couple things. I don't even know where to start. I feel like there's a lot. So I am a big believer in donating not just time, but money as well. And honestly, in the stage of my life, I donate more money than I do time because I am a pretty busy person, if you cannot tell, right? So a couple ways that I would do this. First, donating money. One of the charities that I've recently started donating to is Charity Water. I read the book, Thirst. You might have seen it on my Instagram stories. It is a phenomenal book. I heard about Charity Water about a year ago, and it's just a really cool company. And after reading the book, I was just like hooked. And there's this program that they have called The Spring, and it's a monthly automatic reoccurring payment that comes out of my checking account. And every single month, I'm donating a amount to this company, Charity Water, or this organization. It's a nonprofit. And it helps build wells and just gets clean water for like people all over the world. Okay. So that's something I really am passionate about and I love. I do things like this. So for instance, my live event, Kendra Scott is going to have a pop-up shop at our live event. They have the most amazing jewelry. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we've got a treat for you. And one of the things Kendra Scott is big on is giving back as well. So they're going to be donating 20% of the proceeds to any charity of my choice. I have an amazing friend. His name is Jeff, and he has these really cool bars, protein bars called Kize, K-I-Z-E, Kize bars. And he's just an amazing person, and he takes a lot of the proceeds and basically helps feed children. And he goes to Haiti every year, and he builds orphanages. He's invited me to come this year. It might be something I look at doing. It's just the time part is hard for me, right? Taking away time. It's not a place I can bring my children. It's going to be a long trip, et cetera. But anyway, we're going to be donating our 20% from Kendra Scott to Jeff's organization to help them build the orphanages and do that. So little things like that I do. I'm not like super public about it, but I'm assuming you probably thought I did this for asking that question. And then I think with time, there will be a stage in my life where I can donate more time. So I donate my time right now with my kids' school and our church. Anytime that if they're looking for volunteers or need something, like I try to do it as best I can that way. But like, I'm not going to lie, I will do more of the donation type stuff. So when they're like, and by the way, we need spoons for something, I'm like, you better believe I'm like packing up spoons for that. It's easier for me at this moment to give my money away than it would be to give my time. But you do what you can do. Maybe you're not in a place where you have the money to give, so then give your time. And at some point, your time will become more valuable that you'd rather be able to give your money, right? So, but I do think both are important. So I did sign up to go with one of my masterminds in summer of 2020 to go to Africa to, I think they build schools as well. And I signed up for that trip. So I'm really excited, but I do want to go and do something like that. I would love to go to Haiti with them. I just don't know if it's realistic this time, if they don't have the date set yet. I just don't know if it's realistic with my kids' age and how long I would be gone. So I have to look at that work-life balance again to go, is this something where I can take away how much time? Like sometimes these trips are 10 days. I've never been away from my kids more than like five, maybe four. I don't even know. And like they feel it when I get home. Like I just want to be very conscious of how old they are and how hard it is, especially for Tegan, who's only three. So that's kind of what I do. But I'm always trying to figure out like how can we impact how can we take our business and use it for like a greater impact, right? So we do three community events at my brick and mortars. We just did this community Christmas party. It was completely free, open to the public. I paid for Facebook ads to make sure the city knew about it. We had hundreds of families come in for free, did not pay to be there. They got free pictures with Santa. If you go to the mall, it's like $30 for a digital picture with a scary Santa sometimes. Ours was free. They wrote letters to Santa, gave it to him in person. We had Toys for Tots that we always pick a company to sponsor. So like we pick Toys for Tots. We do them every year. The Marines come in because the Marines have some sort of partnership with them. So the Marines came in. You brought a toy if you wanted. You didn't have to. My studios went around the city and got people to donate prizes so that if you were to give a toy, you'd be entered into a raffle. Then these prizes were given back. So we're really big in giving to our community, but then giving to people greater in that need this, right? If you walk into one of my buildings right now, we have like a million coats in piles. And it's because there is this program called Coats for Kids. When you live in a place like I live in Wisconsin, there are kids that need winter coats. And every year my studios will, and I'll go in my closet and grab my coats out and we donate all of those coats to like an organization that does this locally. And then like after my recital, we have flowers we sell. One year we usually sell out, but 1 year we didn't. And I'm like, what do you do with fresh flowers, right? Like, what do you do with them? And even if we took them all home and everybody got to flowers, it's like you get them for like 3 days and they're dead, right? So we actually that night took them to a nursing home and we made my nephew and niece at the time, they were probably like 14, 15, right? So they're like probably hating it, but we're like, listen, you're going to go in and you're going to give these to these people. And we gave away like lots of bouquets of flowers for people to put in like their home, in their room, in their nursing home. So we're trying to like think of things like that would be really nice and thoughtful, not just like throwing things away and like who would need this right now and how would that happen and any way that you can help. But yeah, that's kind of like what I do and how I do it. I don't have like a set specific charity that I'm always like donating to, but when people bring things up and even things that this isn't even like donating, but like when kids come and they have like fundraisers that they're doing and things like that, I look at that as like this little entrepreneur who's learning how to ask for a sale and how to do all of that. And like, I'm always supporting like those types of kids. And I was totally that girl that was fundraising, going like door to door, asking for like to buy candy bars. Right. So, I do like a lot of that kind of stuff too. Good question though. I definitely don't think I've ever answered that. What's your exhaustion, if you have it, tip? What helps when day after day you can hardly get out of bed? I have been really exhausted lately. Literally, I walked into my mastermind Friday night and my friend says to me, "You look tired." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." Like, that makes me feel great. I was really tired because I went from back to back like stuff. And I came home and my kids, Tegan and Tanner, 3 and 5, they have not been good sleepers since we got home from Italy. And I seriously think it was because they were with us for 10 days in a row, sleeping either in, no, I think every night Tegan slept in my bed. So we get home and my kids, who had been amazing sleepers always through the night, like since they were babies, all of a sudden it was like, this was the new thing. Tegan thought we were permanently sleeping in bed together. So like last night, between the two of them, one got out of her bed at 2 a.m. and came to us. The next one came out at 3, then the next one at 4. And my husband and I are constantly like nudging each other, like, your turn, your turn. It feels like I'm nursing again. Like, that's what it feels like. So I have been really exhausted lately. This morning I slept till 7, and yesterday I slept till 7:30 because I'm just that tired. Like, I just feel like I have to take care of my body and I don't want to get sick. And a lot of times the kids are always sick and I'm trying to make sure I don't catch whatever they have. And part of that is just being as super well rested as possible. So I think my exhaustion tip is sleep and then just like eating really good, taking care of my body and just putting like the best ingredients in there. I have been really getting obsessed with like biohacking and listening to like Bulletproof Radio and just trying to learn from, I have a friend who's like this amazing scientist who has his own podcast. And, he is just constantly giving me tips of try this or try that or do this or do that. And I just want to be like the healthiest person I can. And I think that's how I can do as much as I can. Imagine if I like ate fast food every day and wasn't sleeping. There's no way I could live this lifestyle that I'm living because I am a go, go, go kind of person. But I can do it because I'm taking care of myself. I'm working out 3 to 5 times a week sometimes. I'm doing yoga like every single morning and sometimes twice a day. I'm meditating. So those are the things that I'm doing. I think people would be shocked if they actually watched like how much I'm working. I'm really only working from like 9 to 3, which isn't that much, right? I mean, it's not that much time. So that's kind of what I'm doing, okay? Natasha, what do you do when acquaintances ask you for free services? Okay, so she said acquaintances, not friends. And if there are real friends and you really want to help, totally cool. I'm good with that, right? However, I feel like it's usually not... it's usually not the friend that asks. It's the acquaintance who you're like, we're not even that close. Like, we barely talk, right? I have people that will pitch me to like come stay at one of my rental properties. And it's like, listen, we have real expenses. People think in their head that a rental property is free because you own it. So why would you charge them? I literally had to say to my family, if anybody comes and stays at my Florida home, like, this is the minimum I would have to charge you because it still costs money whether I'm there or I'm not there. And when you're taking away somebody else coming in and renting, it costs me money. And I'm not at a place financially to be like, yes, everybody come for free, do whatever you want. I'm not in that place. Like, yes, I mean, financially we are doing well, but we run businesses that need to make money. And that's the only way we do well. So you've got to be careful. So yes, real friends value your work and they totally, Natasha, would offer to pay you, right? Like, and some people I will give some stuff away for free and do that when I know like they're truly a friend and I want to help and I want to share. And that's when I give my time away, right? So I have a friend right now who said to me yesterday, I cannot believe how much like you're just sitting here coaching me for free. And it's because she's a real friend. She'd be there in a second if I needed her. And yeah, I'm literally privately messaging her nonstop, helping her with her coaching business for free. And I would never allow her to pay me because it's just a true friendship, right? But there's times when it's like these acquaintances, no. Like, no, here's what I offer. Here's what it is. And I will tell you the best way to get out of that is by not being the person that has to do the talking. So when I have a sales team, when I have people that are like these gatekeepers in my email or my messenger, things like that, it's a lot easier to be able to say, oh, well, Stacey charges this. Let me know if you're interested versus me having to be like, here's what I do or here's how much it is. Do you want to pay that? Sorry. You know, it's just, it's difficult. Totally. Okay. You are a million steps ahead of me and it feels like I can never get to where you are. Where and when is the right time to start? Okay. So first, start immediately. Like if you feel like the best time to start on anything that you're talking about was a certain time ago, right? So I wish I would have started on Instagram like 3 years ago and I would be a million times bigger than I was. But the next best time is to start right this second because you've already wasted however much time you should have been doing whatever it is you're doing. So you've got to start immediately. You don't have time to waste. The more time you take to get ready, the harder it will be to grow. Okay. Facebook ads 2-3 years ago, I was getting for like half the price as I am right now. If I were to be getting started today instead of 3 years ago, it's going to be that much harder. But you're thinking, well, you just told me to start now. It's harder now. Yeah. But you know what it's going to look like in 3 years? It's going to be even harder. So it's like, it's always the best time right now. You just have to go. Also know that even if you're like, you're way far ahead of me, I've only been doing this like 3 years. So I'm not, 3 years, I don't think it's that long. Like, I don't think it's that long at all. I think the fact that you can blow up, we were just talking about this. Somebody has a brick and mortar that like I have, and they're like, these online people just don't get it. They come in this space and they think in 6 weeks, if they're not profiting, like they're just horrible business owners. And we're like, we'd had our brick and mortars for years before we ever profited because of the expenses, the overhead. It's so much harder. So I think you have to like understand that these like get rich overnight things are not real. And it's going to take you a little bit of time to make this happen. So you've got to start now and you've got to put in the work and you've got to put in the work knowing that, yeah, you're not going to really get a lot of results in the beginning, but the consistency is going to help you in the long run. So I felt like I was doing stuff on Instagram for months before anything ever happened. And I'm like, I'm just going to keep doing it, right? I just got, I told you Bulletproof Radio. I got this new stuff. It's a hair supplement called, I don't know if this is right, Nutrafol, something like that. And I'm big into like healthy stuff. I don't want to just put chemicals. So anyway, this Nutrafol stuff is going to help you with hair growth. I have very thin hair. Like if I showed you what a ponytail looks like, I'll show you right now on Facebook Live. This is my entire ponytail. Like, I'm not kidding, guys. Like, that's my entire hair, right? I have no hair. And I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm 34, it's just like thinning and I'm freaking out because I'm like, I already don't have hair and it's going away. So anyway, I got this Nutrafol stuff. I've got a point to the story. And anyway, in this thing, it flat out says you have to take this for 6 months before you see results. Every single day for 6 months. And I know I'll do it because I'm disciplined. I will do it knowing that I've got a great person that referred me to it. I've seen great results with it. I'll stick it out for 6 months. There's a lot of people that can't do something for 6 months without results. They will never make it 6 months because they'll just be like, it's not really working. But sometimes things take time, right? So I want you to understand that it just might be in the time taking stage in your business. You got to keep doing it. You got to keep taking that every day, whether or not you're seeing results, right? If it's not working 6 months from now, when they told me it should be working, then I might start to question it, right? But I'm going to like go all in until that moment. Make sense? Okay. Stacey, how do you see the comments? Are you recording from your phone or are you on your laptop? I use my phone and have the Biz Manager app on my phone and can't see comments. Thanks. Biz Manager app. I use a Facebook app that's called Facebook Pages app. So make sure you do that. Also, so you should be able to see your comments. If you couldn't, you could have your laptop set up here where you could scroll it to. Yeah. Okay. Allison, totally. She said, I think I need someone to make me sound magical. I think we all need that person unless we are naturally gifted at really selling. Okay. How long did it take you to phase yourself out of your brick and mortar? Okay. Such a great question. Honestly, years and years and years. And if you're like, but I don't want to do that, I'm looking at investing all this time, right? But then knowing that at the moment, let's say I was 30 years old, probably maybe a little younger, I could own that business for an additional 30 or 40. And I will put in the work of taking those years to really set up systems and delegate and build my team, knowing that it could run on autopilot for the next 30 years. I truly believe if I died today, let's hope that doesn't happen, but if I did, my brick and mortar businesses would continue to run without me, would continue to scale, would continue to be successful. They literally do not need me. Would it look exactly the way that I would make it look? No, because of course I'm the visionary, but somebody would step into that visionary role and that would, that person would take over and it may look a little different than the way I did it. But I know that I've given them a foundation to continue to run without me and that's exciting. Like people always say like, would you ever sell your studios? No. Why would I ever sell? No, I just put in all the work. Why would I sell it now? Like the hard part's over, right? And I shouldn't say it's over, but the really hard, like the beginning stuff, when it was an infant and I was working like a crazy person from morning to night, 7 days a week, you know, I had to sacrifice a lot, but it's like I have put in the work and it definitely took years. One of the things that I always do when I'm training a role is I train the role and I set up the system for whatever that looks like. So let's say I have a year's worth of systems of what this role does. Okay. So the first year I'm showing them and I'm telling them how I'm doing it. The second year is when I'm giving them a little bit more responsibility and I'm letting them kind of do it with me and I'm kind of overseeing it. And if I feel like they kind of pass those tests the next time, it's like, it's all you, go for it. When I say years, in my business, it's kind of a yearly business where every June is like the same, but like August and June are not. So for us, we really need a whole year in that business to understand what that looks like. If you're in an online business and you have like launches, it might be like launch three, she's on her own, right? So that's just kind of how I do it. But for me, that's what I'm doing. And even in the online space, I am building a sellable, scalable business. I am not trying a business that absolutely has to have me. So right now, yes, the business is me, but you will see me transition throughout the next, you know, however many years. I am bringing in more experts. My programs will have like complimentary coaches and guest experts that pop in. It doesn't always have to be like just the Stacey show. And it can be for you if you want that. But I know myself and I know that I will get like burnt out if I just constantly keep doing it because I like new. I like to be challenged. I like growth. I like innovation. And if you don't give me something new that's going to challenge me, I will get not burnt out. I'll just get bored. I just don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over. I like learning. So that's just where what I'm building here. Okay. All right. How long have me and my husband been married? We've been married 10 years this past August. Next question. Are you going to have any more children? No, I don't think so. I'm like almost 99.9% positive we are not. I just feel like everything feels good with us and it feels really manageable and it feels like we like to travel and two seems great. I don't really want to start back over with like the pregnancy stuff and then the nursing stuff and then the diaper. Oh, that just does not sound like where I want to go right now. Pregnancy was really hard for me. I actually had been pregnant three times before I had Tanner and Tegan. So it's like a big thing for me and it's a big journey and it's not fun. And it's, it's just not something that I personally would like to go through again. I feel really blessed with what we have and that's kind of where I'm at. How do you best structure your tiers of offerings in terms of free to premium or paid? Mainly, how do you still give good content value and some of your time to say a free Facebook group while still protecting your time so you can give more value and time to your premium and paid Facebook groups? Yeah. Okay. So the biggest difference is you're building a fitness business, it says. So the good thing is it's not like fitness. They can come in once, get it and be like, oh, I'm good, right? So you can give like a little free workout, but know that there's so many other things you could be giving. So the big thing is how do you decide what is free right now? And then what is something your paid and premium clients are going to get? So for me, one of my things that I say is the only private one-on-one time that I give right now is to my members of Powerhouse, my mastermind, okay? So that's a big difference when you're looking at my other programs. So how can you make sure that all of these programs are different and that when you do your free and you are very clear on what the paid stuff is. So when you do the free stuff, you're like, oh, I can't do this because I'm giving that away in this program. So that doesn't make sense, right? So be very, very careful. You can absolutely educate and explain. And I always tell people, I have this one client, Susie, who does makeup. And she's always like, here's the makeup to buy and here's this and here's that. And I'm like, you know what? You should be educating. And then when you give, here's what to buy, that should be in your programs, right? So you've got to be careful that you're not giving so much good stuff away for free that I would never need to buy. I'm loving this girl, Yoga with Adrienne on YouTube, but she has so many free videos. It's like, I don't know what I would ever buy from her. Like what? And you can buy like $20 a month unlimited yoga, but I'm like, I kind of feel like I'm getting that right now on her YouTube channel. I really, really hope that she is making really good money in sponsorships and all these other places because I'm going, her model, I wish I could help her in some ways. You know, it's like, and maybe she is just like so successful she doesn't care, but I'm looking at this going, as a person who loves her, I'm not sure that I will ever buy from her. I don't know that I need to buy from her. And it kind of makes me feel bad as an entrepreneur saying that, but you got to be really careful that your model is sustainable and that you're giving your people a reason to buy from you, right? So you got to be careful. How do I work out my signature package is 121 group training? I'm confused. Wait, what? How do I work out with what my signature package is? Laura, if you're still on, I would love for you to re-explain that. I don't know what that means. So, and here's the thing. If I don't know what that means, you got to be very, very cautious that maybe your people don't know what that means, right? So just be careful with that. Your signature program needs to be like, why is it Laura's program? Like, what makes it different? What makes it proprietary? What makes it be something that I can't get anywhere else? Okay. I'm doing a workout with my trainer. And honestly, when he does stuff, I'm like, I feel like he actually has a rhythm here. Like he's telling me we do this and then we do this and then we do this. And then, and it's like, this is like a real thing. And he's actually knows what he's doing versus just feeling like we're always just like winging it. Right. Then I would feel like I could get it somewhere else, but I feel like I'm buying something that is proprietary to him and it's getting me the results. And I kind of feel that if I would leave, I would lose those results. Right. So make sure it's very crystal clear. Cause if you're confused, your buyers are completely confused. Okay. You guys, I'm going to wrap up. Thank you so much for watching. If you are looking to work with me in 2019, make sure to go check out my mastermind. We have just a few spots left. We're going to be closing the doors, closing applications down really, really soon. Go to stacytuschel.com/fitting call. Okay. And then that is where you can book a call with my team, see if you would be a good fit for the mastermind. We're kicking off the next 12 months. And if you are really looking to blow up next year and have this be your breakout year, think about joining the Powerhouse Mastermind because we have some incredible ladies in there who, like, I heard somebody's results this morning of what she has done this year. And you guys, it is just crazy what people are doing. And if this is going, fitting call going to. Yes. So stacytuschel.com/fitting call. Thank you, Shalana. Appreciate it. Thank you, Claire, for posting. It's in the link, you guys, the comments below if you want to click that. But go get book a call. We have more calls booked than we have spots available. Obviously, not everybody gets in. So please make sure to do that right away. If you're interested and you're serious about working together next year, let's get started. This is the only way you can privately work with me for 2019. Okay. All right, ladies, thank you so much for a great day, a great call. I will chat with you later. Bye, guys. We appreciate you joining us for this episode of She's Building Her Empire. Be sure to join the free Facebook community at shesbuildingherempire.club. For more free content, videos, and rock solid business advice to build your purposeful business and take it to the next level, please visit shesbuildingherempire.com. We look forward to helping you build your empire, create an everlasting impact, and live the life of your dreams. Until next time.